Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Saints for a touchdown!
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye! Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed!
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown! Taysom Hill! Taysom TD!
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Welcome into Inside Black and Gold, and hurling closer and closer to the NFL draft that it is April. No April Fools here, though. Back in action, Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. Hope you are doing well, Houdat Nation. How you been, Jeff?
Well, if we're hurtling, if the draft is the sun and we are hurtling directly into it, that's kind of how I feel.
Starting to feel a little warm.
It'll be over soon. We won't have anything to worry about after that. No, that's not how it goes. But I'm doing good. As you can tell, if you're watching this, you can see the bags under my eyes. Maybe not be getting enough sleep, but we'll figure that out. That's a whole nother issue, but. Yes, it's our second pod of the week. We haven't had a two-pod week in a while, so this is a big moment. We're getting there. We're going to do another mock draft today. But you know, there really hasn't been a ton that's changed, so we're kind of going to throw a curveball at you. So we're going to do two different types of mock drafts. There's some construction going on behind me, so if you can hear that, I'm sorry. So Steve's mock draft, he's going to trade up. So we're going to kind of do this. Like Steve's got a mock draft where he traded up, and we're going to talk about how that looks, what a trade up look could be, right? Just an example of what you might be looking at if you did trade up, who might be available, who you might target, that sort of thing. And so that's going to be his mock draft. We'll do that in a second segment. Mine is going to be the opposite, where I do what the Saints never do, and I trade down. And I see, okay, what are some packages you could get, who you might target if you move down to the back end of the first, that sort of thing. Can you add a third round pick, that sort of thing. So that's going to be the third segment. This first segment, we got a couple things I want to talk about. There's a signing, a player that the Saints looked at, went on elsewhere. And then you talked to Sean Merriman on Sports Talk yesterday, and he had some interesting things to say on the new rule changes and also a big trade that happened in the NFL. But first things first, the signing. The Saints signed Kalike Hudson. I do not know if I'm saying that name right. Linebacker, depth linebacker. He played for Michigan. He was the fifth round pick of the Commanders back in 2020. Now, you want to talk about teams that don't draft well and not seem to be able to develop players. The Commanders now have zero players remaining on their roster from their own 2020 draft class. Think about that. That's crazy. Because we're not even 4 years in. These guys get four-year contracts.
The one that's obviously the big shocker is Chase Young, because the second overall pick in the draft, man, come on.
And he's on the Saints now. So the Saints have more members, and I think Matt Paris from NOLA.com was the first one to point this out. He would know because he covered the Commanders for several years. The Saints have two members of the Commanders 2020 draft class, and the Commanders have zero. So Kalike Hudson, he's a guy who's a special teamer. I think you look at this and you say, well, why would you bring him in? It's because a guy like Zach Bond is now out of town. So you're going to have kind of open tryouts, basically, for, okay, who's going to step up on special teams? That was something that Zach Bond provided. It's one of the reasons his roster spot was always secure, even though people be like, what does Zach Bond even do? He plays special teams. That's what he did. That's why his spot was secure, even when he wasn't necessarily delivering in that off-ball role the way you probably hoped he would develop into. Now he's gone, so you got to find ways to fill that. That's why you brought in Stanley Morgan, right? Another guy who's basically a career special teamer. Now, Kalike did get more snaps in the regular defense toward the tail end of last season. He averaged about 50 snaps a game over the final month with the Commanders. This was a Commanders team that was headed nowhere. So don't take that as necessarily a wow, they really love him because they didn't bring him back.
Right.
So, but it is kind of, you get more tape on the guy. Is that's what you're really looking at there? Is you get a 4-game sample size to kind of see what he was able to do. And I think he had a decent showing in that. So if he makes the roster and you suddenly have a need for a depth linebacker, you can at least look at it and say, yeah, he has done it at the NFL level, which isn't something you can necessarily say about a lot of the other guys, like DeMarco Jackson. He hasn't really ever gotten a good run as a playing defensive linebacker. He's a special teams guy. So I think that's kind of what you're looking at. But yeah, it's another depth signing for the Saints today.
Interested to see, you know, him on the field, obviously, when we get out there to watch some practices that way down the road. But Mike Dettillier posted one of his draft write-ups on him. And the fact that, you know, you're going through all the little nuggets of information and played some slot corner at Michigan, I thought it's interesting.
No, he's another athletic guy. I think that's kind of right. What they're looking at the linebacker position is athletic guys who can do several different things. And, you know, we talked about this a lot in the last episode. We don't have to go through it again, but the new kickoff rule, right? I think it's going to maybe adjust some of your prototypes for what you maybe look for in a special teams role. You know, I think you're going to need a lot more guys who can tackle in space than you really needed before, because there was really no space to worry about on kickoffs. You didn't really have to even consider it. You were kicking it out of the back of the end zone. You're moving on. Now, I think that's a little different. And the coverage is going to be different than the coverage would have been in the punt game. So I do think that does create some question marks of, you know, maybe guys who have been making the roster as special teamers because they can do X, Y, Z. Now you need someone who can do ABC, right? And so maybe you see a little bit of a shift from these guys that you have seen make the roster in the past. So I think that's interesting. It's going to be something that we see develop in camp. But I don't think that this is a, you know, like they brought in Willie Gay from the Chiefs, right? And I think you brought in Willie Gay with the idea that he could compete for a starting spot. He Absolutely. Could push Pete Werner. And, you know, I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that he's your week one starter if he shows up in camp and shows out in camp. I don't think that's the case with Kalike. I think he's really competing for a special teams role.
Yeah, totally. And obviously we know how important those positions are, though, too. So Darren Rizzi seems to be having quite the offseason. So we'll see how those special teams get beefed up in the offseason here and how they look going into things. Like you mentioned, with the new kickoff rules in place, is going to be a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, and I don't think they're done. I think they're going to keep adding special teams options, and it's going to be basically open tryouts. Not necessarily open tryouts, because that would mean that anyone could show up. But basically, like, you're going to have a lot of guys on the roster who have a chance to make the roster who maybe might not have had a realistic shot in the past, because I think a lot of people are kind of starting at the same space. Now, one player who's not going to be in that group, because we know this, is Avante Maddox. He came in to visit the Saints early on in the free agency process. I think slot corner is a position that they're going to have to look at and probably add a piece at. He re-signed with the Eagles this week. So he's no longer on their radar as a potential slot corner option. And I would guess, you know, I don't know how his medical's checked out. He has dealt with injuries. Maybe that was a factor. But I think for the Saints, one of the issues you're running into is, and it's another thing we talked about in the last episode, you're kind of in a holding pattern for the slot corner position, because right now you're starting a slot corner as Alante Taylor, because if you don't trade Marshawn Lattimore, you're probably going to keep Alante Taylor in the slot. If you do trade Marshawn Lattimore, you're going to bump Alante Taylor outside, and then you have to bring in a slot corner. And you're probably going to want to pay a little bit more in that scenario, but you don't want to just sign somebody with the and then not have a spot. So it becomes a little more complicated. And I think that's why you're not seeing them sign a guy right now, because you don't know what level of investment you necessarily have to make at slot corner. And there's going to be options. Maybe you get a guy in the draft. Maybe you wait it out and see a guy whose market didn't develop, and you can bring him in on a sweetheart deal late in the game. But no, it's not going to be Avante Maddox. We know that.
Yeah, we know there's still talented guys out there, at least in the safety market and free agency.
Exactly. All right. So I do want to move on to the Sean Merriman interview, which was interesting. And Sean Merriman's a unique guy. he's getting into MMA now, I think. Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, he's got his lights out
mixed martial arts events that have been going on, coming on to promote them for a while now with us. Got one coming on this Saturday, number 15, I believe. It'll be on FUBU TV, encouraging everyone to check it out. And I've never really gotten into MMA stuff, honestly, if I'm just putting that out there.
I mean, we did both watch Roadhouse. Maybe Sean should have tried to get in on that, because that was a big MMA-themed event there.
yeah, he should have, for sure.
Yeah, so that's what he should have done. He should have gotten into Roadhouse the movie and worn like a lights out MMA shirt. That would have been anyway.
No, but that's brilliant marketing right there. You need to be you got in the wrong profession.
Just saying, Sean, hit me up. But okay, so but you know, a couple of things you talked about. You talked about the rule changes, which. You know, I was surprised almost to hear Sean say, I think the NFL got it right on both of these rule changes, which is the kickoff, for the same reason we talked about, which is like it's going to bring guys into the game that have been kind of erased from the game. It's like Devin Hester, if Devin Hester had come into the league in the last 10 years, he probably gets cut, right? He came into the league and he's a Hall of Famer, right? Like that's what's changed over the last decade in the NFL, and the new kickoff rule will create a need for that again. And then that's exciting because guys like Devin Hester, Dwayne Harris, Cordarrelle Patterson, they made the game more exciting. And now you're giving them an option to do that again. So he agreed with that. The other one he agreed with was the hip drop tackle, which I was very surprised by, but I thought he made some really good points. So this is what he had to say.
You know, I feel sorry for defenders right now because it's almost, with all these other rules, it's really hard to go out and play football. But in my opinion, the NFL got this one right in particular. And I know what everybody's going to say, oh, your lifestyle, what are you doing talking about? You can't tackle guys a certain way. I think with this particular tackle, the injury rate, because a runner can't defend himself. He can't curl up. He can't stiff arm you. He doesn't even have the option to go down because he's pulled down with somebody's body weight on top of him. And if there wasn't so many other rules already, defenders and people wouldn't have a problem with this. It's the problem that there's so many other unnecessary rules in the NFL that just this seems like an added one. But I just really believe the NFL got this one right.
And I agree. I think he makes a really good point there. I think one of the issues that you have as a defender is it's not just that they're outlawing this one specific type of tackle, which if you don't understand what a hip drop tackle is, it's basically – in most cases, you're chasing a guy down and you grab him around the waist. And rather than kind of like slinging him down or pulling him down, you're using your own body weight and you're dropping your hips to the ground from behind to take him down that way. And you're basically becoming an anchor. And the issue becomes the only way you can really do that when you're chasing a guy down is to land on their legs. And you're basically rolling up on their legs. And it just, I mean, the obvious things happen. Things break when you put pressure on them. Mark Andrews got hurt that way. You've seen a lot of guys get hurt that way. Logan Wilson is like the poster child for like why this type of tackle is not allowed anymore, because he do it all the time. And it was legal, so you couldn't get mad. But like, I kind of look at it as, you know, the horse collar tackle was allowed for a long time. And then I think Roy Williams of the Cowboys was a guy who did it constantly, and people get hurt because you kind of, it's not difficult to understand. You grab someone by the back of the pads and you pull them down and your legs get caught up underneath you and things pop. And it's a similar situation. One of the reasons that NFL players, just like any union, right? Any union exists and you're trying to make rules and the union's like, nah, we don't have to allow this. And we're not going to allow this out of principle because we don't like the slope it creates. Whether it's a good idea or not, a union exists to protect the people within the union. And I think that's why you saw so much blowback was like, no, you've already given us so many bullshit rules that we have to adhere to on how to tackle a guy. You're just adding another one. You're not taking any of them away. You're not making it any easier for us to do it in another way. If I go high, it's a penalty. If I go low, it's a penalty. If I grab him by the pads, it's a penalty. If I grab him by the face mask, it's a penalty. If I grab him by the hips and fall to the ground, it's a fucking penalty. It's how do you play football? And so I understand that. But this one specifically, it's like you can see the injuries. And you can see how significant they are and how they can basically happen anytime you do this. And so I, at first I was kind of on the fence about it in terms of like, how are they going to officiate it? And I still have concerns about, okay, when they screw this up and they call something a hip drop tackle that wasn't a hip drop tackle because they just saw it in real time and it changes a game. Like, yeah, we're going to be talking about that the same way we talked about putting your body weight on a quarterback and, you know, all these other things going low, like the Tom Brady rule, right? But at the end of the day, games are much better when the star players are intact at the end of them, right? Look at the NFC Championship game 2 years ago when the 49ers finished it with no quarterback, or at least the quarterback who couldn't throw because guys got hurt. And it's like, that's not a good example because they didn't get hurt through any illegal methods. But it's the fact of the matter is, like, you don't want to play the second half of the season without Mark Andrews because he's getting tackled in a way that he didn't have to be tackled in. So I think just the fact that Sean Merriman, of all people, who's a former defensive player, is saying that, I think that kind of tells you a lot. Because once you get out of the league and you don't have to tackle anybody anymore, and this no longer becomes an issue of like, if I don't make that tackle, I get fired. You know, I think he kind of when you take a step back and you just look at it and you look at the impact of it, that's pretty telling.
That was totally it for me. Like, initially you hear about the hip drop tackle being banned in the NFL and I threw my arms up. Oh, this league is going to shit. Yeah, we might as well put the flags on them. And then when you start really looking into it, watching the videos more on exactly the what is happening during the hip drop tackle, you're like, well, I kind of understand that the player safety aspect here, and it definitely swayed me more. And although I was surprised to hear Merriman being in favor for it, I didn't think that was going to happen at all either.
Yeah, no, seriously. And this guy's in MMA. There's no rules in MMA. Like, he could do anything in MMA.
Right.
I do think so. It's like, I get it. But my bigger issue is like, okay, how are you going to officiate this? This is going to be a very difficult thing to interpret in real time. Like, did he really do a hip drop tackle, or did he just, how do you tackle a guy from behind now? Like, what's the actual way that you do that? Because NFL teams don't spend a ton of time practicing tackling throughout a season. They just don't. That's something you're expected to show up with. So it's actually going to be more college level, where you have to drill this into guys that you're not allowed to do this. But you know where the hip drop tackle is still legal? College. Yeah. So what incentive do college programs have to teach young players not to tackle this way when it's technically not illegal? It would be like going to college and being like, well, you only have to get one foot in, but we're going to work exclusively on how to catch a ball and get both feet in. No.
Yeah.
If you went to catch a ball and you could have got one foot in, but you ended up out of bounds because you were trying to get both feet in, you're going to get reamed out on the sideline by your coach, right? So that's going to be the same thing here. It's like, if that's the easiest way to get a guy down, you're going to do it in college. Then you're going to get to the NFL, and suddenly that's against the rules. And so incoming rookies aren't going to have that skill set. Veteran players aren't going to have that skill set. And so how are you going to do that this season? And then how are the officials going to perceive it? What will every single officiating crew have a different interpretation of what a hip drop tackle is?
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
But I do agree with the idea that, like, yeah, you need to find a way, and it's going to be ugly at points. We're going to have mistakes. You're going to have bad calls. You're going to have things that you probably weren't anticipating, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's one of those that obviously, especially year one is going to be rocky with the outcomes of things. Hopefully it doesn't affect the Saints too much.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it basically every week. Like, oh, the official screwed this one up. The official screwed this one up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, that was a hip drop tackle, but they didn't call it, you know, like stuff like that. I think the best comparison you could make in terms of it's going to affect the games at really annoying points and annoying ways is like the body weight tackles on the quarterback, because that was just a vague thing. And you understand what they're trying to get rid of, which is essentially the Kentavious Street hit on Drew Brees. Like, that's what they were trying to get out of the game. Stuff that's going to break ribs and literally end careers if you do it, you know, in a certain way. And for a long time, that was encouraged. Like, yeah, take down the quarterback, make him feel it. And then you got to the point where it's like, no, as a defensive player, you have to be aware in that moment that you have to avoid that level of contact. And I think Clay Matthews was a guy who got hit with it all the time. It's just the way he tackled. And I bet you Logan Wilson will too. He's going to have a hard time working that out of his game. But, you know, I think in like 3-4 years, we're going to be talking about this the same way we talk about the horse collar tackle, which is like every time you see it, you'll be like, what an idiot. Like, he should have known not to do that. But if you're in the NFC Championship game this season and, you know, there's like a huge third down play and you make the tackle and then we're like, nope, hip drop, 15-yard penalty. Not going to be good.
Like you said, it's going to be like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. But all right, that's it. You know, the other thing that we could talk about was Stephon Diggs getting traded from the Bills to the Texans. I don't really think we need to talk about it a ton, but you know, you texted me and you're like, man, the Texans are loaded. And I kind of look at it like, is he really an upgrade to what they had? Is, because I feel like the Bills even being willing to trade him is a pretty good indicator that they think he's cooked.
They're
eating like $30 million in dead cap.
Yeah, right. That's a very telling sign right there. But I just feel like obviously that things didn't mesh well with how he was visibly upset with the team and, you know, with the quarterback. Things didn't work out over there. And I don't really know if Diggs went on social media blasting Josh Allen at all, but I know he made some comments out there saying, you know, basically how important he is to the team. And they were like, all right, well, we're going to get rid of you. And it's just going to be an interesting kind of, a rebuild over there for their wide receiving core. You don't have Gabe Davis anymore. You don't have Stephon Diggs. So it's going to be interesting. Who's he got over there now?
I have a feeling they're going to be drafting a wide receiver.
Maybe.
But we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't make the Texans worse. Let's put it that way.
No, for sure. I think that, you know, CJ Stroud obviously has a nice little group around him. And man, oh man, if he keeps developing into year two the way, you know, we saw him in that short amount of time in year one getting acclimated to the NFL. Yeah, man, Texans are going to be for real.
Yeah, I really like that core too. I mean, like, I'm kind of saying, oh, Stephon Diggs might be cooked, but you're talking about Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, who I think is like a legit wide receiver one that nobody talks about. And then Tank Dell, who I was obsessed with coming out, and he showed why last year. So
yeah, you had him on the Saints mock draft, right? Or no?
I did. Yeah. Everyone. but he went to Houston. He went to Houston, and then he got drafted by Houston. So that was always going to be a tough, tough team for them to get past. I would have been curious if he did get to the Saints in the third round if they would have gone with him. They went with Kendre Miller. But yeah, so let's wrap that up. We'll come back and we'll go into Steve's mock draft. Steve had the assignment trade up and see what we can get. And that's probably the more likely outcome if there is a trade happening for the Saints, because as we all know, Mickey Loomis has never traded back in his life, and I don't expect to see him start doing that in his 60s, but we'll find out.
But to me, man, I said before, getting more assets, obviously, for the third or fourth round would be immense. Now, you could do that maybe with some of your fifth rounders to get into the fourth, but if you could work out a way to somehow get that third round pick that you mentioned, I think that's ideal, obviously, with the team needing so many holes to fill, I would say, this offseason.
I agree, but we're going to talk about all that after these ads. Stick around.